official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
God, Ryan, control yourself. Ryan's not even here. That's not really... that's a recording.
That was me.
Well, this is Joanne. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We're not live, motherfuckers, but it's a brand new episode if you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, December 11th in the year 2021 at dnrstudios.com and the DNRcast app, the only place you can hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. If you listen elsewhere, leave us your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or whichever audio platform you use. Email me your dick pics at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page. Download the comedy albums. Get your ass merch at adamsank.com. And remember, you can call the ass hotline anytime you want, even when we're not on the air at 804-TALK-ASS. Leave us a voicemail. Our guest today is yet another RuPaul's Drag Race queen. I'm very excited about this. She's one of my favorites. It's Cynthia Lee Fontaine from seasons 8 and 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. But first, it's time to welcome back everyone's second favorite lesbian, my guest co-host today, Joanne Phelan.
Yay! I'm so glad to be back. How wonderful.
Oh, my God. The audience really is going insane for you, Joanne.
Feeling good.
They're confused because you were here 2 weeks ago, and then Ryan was here live, and now you're here again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the even bigger news, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not only is the world's second favorite lesbian here today, but the world's most favorite lesbian is here today. Romaine Patterson is in the studio.
What is happening? Hello.
Romaine surprised us with a little drop-in.
I did. You didn't even know I was coming.
I love your Derek and Romaine cap. I've never seen that cap.
Thank you. It's in the Derek and Romaine shop at dnrstudios.com.
You're saying I can't have one for free?
I could get you one. You just have to ask.
Try to make that happen.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Exciting.
What are you doing here, Roman?
Well, my wife and I decided to have a date day in the city. So there are all these little places that I've wanted to go for months that I have not had time or my wife around to go do. So we are going to come. We came into the city today to go to a couple pop-up shops down in Soho and, you know, doing a little holiday stuff.
And where is said wife? I don't see her.
She's out on the sofa.
Oh, really?
She was downstairs earlier guarding all the package. I had all this Derek and Romaine stuff at my house that I had to bring in, you know, for the holiday decor of the office.
Yes.
So I literally filled up my car till it was like stuffed like a turkey dinner, and I brought it all in and I dropped it off. And so
lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to say hello to Iris on my way out if she's not asleep.
I'll have her come and wave to you. How about that?
Please.
From the couch.
And with us, as always, on the board is the queen of fuckery, JB Bursey. Hello, JB. Welcome, welcome. This is the most people we've had in studio in a while, and certainly the most lesbians.
I know. I'm so excited.
It's like a lesbian takeover of your show.
Yes. Yeah. And we could do it.
A lot
too.
Of estrogen happening.
Last week, there was four of us, but Jack was here.
That's true. Yeah, there was a lot of testosterone.
This is the most lesbians.
It's a lot of vagina.
You're welcome.
Nice.
All right. Well, here's a perfect question to ask with Romaine seated here, which is who in this room has watched either The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? I myself am not a fan. JB?
I hate it.
I'm with Romaine. I hate it.
I'm not. No.
None of us does?
None of us watch it. I'll tell you what.
Is Derek the one who likes it?
He does. He likes the Batch, the one with all the hot guys. Was that The Bachelorette?
Yes, that would be Bachelorette.
Yeah, I can't watch it because I find especially the one with all the women, The Bachelor, I find it so demeaning the way the women behave for the attention of a single man. It's gross
to me. Well,
it's
that way on both sides. The premise of the show is faulty.
I'm okay with men demeaning themselves.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, me too, believe me. But hold on. Thank you. But the premise of the show is so false because the idea that there would be this one person who 50 people automatically want to be with and fall in love with. Like, I don't care how hot the woman is or the guy is. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got different tastes. You're not going to just all want this same person with equal fervor. I feel like I want to do a gay bachelor where the contestants not only compete for the bachelor, but also they fuck each other. And they some of them wind up just going home together because they're like, you're hotter than the bachelor.
Yeah, because that's what would happen.
That's
maybe
totally
you
what
should,
would happen.
Like, do a bachelor / sister wives combo so that they all just become one giant family.
Just one big Mormon family.
Nobody loses.
The Mormon Bachelor.
Get married. Ooh, see?
The Mormon Bachelor, airing only in Utah. That would be
the Mormon the merrier the bachelor.
The more the merrier. Did you just make that up,
the
Joanna?
The merrier.
This is why she's everyone's second favorite lesbian.
Mm-hmm. She's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I bring this up is because Colton, the bachelor who everyone knew was gay, and then he actually confirmed it by coming out, he has this Netflix series that I have to say this in the past tense because this episode isn't airing until December 11th. It premiered on Netflix on December 3rd. But because it isn't December 3rd yet when we're recording this, I can't give you a review of coming out.
I think we know. It's disgusting. It's horrible. Nobody cares. Ugh. That's my review.
My prediction is it sucks.
Yes.
Because he sucks.
Yes.
He's disingenuous.
I can't believe he has another show.
I know. It's a 6-part documentary that documents his coming out. The former Bachelor star revealed he was gay in April in an interview with Good Morning America. And then 48 hours later, news leaked, whatever, his publicist told everyone, that he was in the process of filming a docuseries. You know, there's also the allegations of stalking that were made against him by his former girlfriend, who was the Bachelorette. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch one episode just out of like morbid curiosity. But I just don't like this guy.
I don't either.
I think he's a shithead.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yep.
And
I don't
agree
think
with you.
We need to see. Come on. Argue with me. Fight with me.
But if it was like a documentary series, like on HBO, like a true, like the street documentary with the hookers and you watch the sex, I would watch that.
Well, me too.
I watch him have sex with
Taxi
anybody.
Cab Confessions, honey. Yes. That was my jam back in the day.
Like, I would watch him do that. I wouldn't watch him talk about his coming out story because she's a boring person.
Seriously.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to another topic about a man who was, until very recently, part of the DNR Studios family, Matthew Camp. Because Matthew Camp is actually out with a sex doll. If you've ever wondered what it would be like to have sex with him, as most of us have. I know you haven't, Joanne.
No, that'd be joining like a sleepaway camp.
No, this is Matthew Camp, sleepaway camp.
Sorry.
A real life-sized Matthew Camp sex doll is now available for your purchase and pleasure. The 37-year-old Hank, 37-year-old hunk, announced the release of the official Matt Camp doll last week on social media. This will cost you a mere $4,000.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And it's available on onlydolls.com. Now, I have printed out a picture of Matthew Camp with his doll. And no offense to the makers of the doll, but to me, this looks like Matthew Camp's corpse after it's been left out
the
in the cold.
The skin tone is too, it's too light.
It's so pale.
Got kind of pretty legs, though.
Well, Matthew has pretty legs, too. Oh, okay. I actually think Matthew is much hotter than the doll version of Matthew.
Agreed.
But I don't know how.
I second that.
You know, but the dick does seem to be life-size. And so joining us on the phone to talk about this is the man himself, Matthew Camp. Welcome.
Hi.
What a surprise this is.
I know. I haven't seen you since you accosted me in that bathroom.
Oh, God, I wish. I wish I had the guts to accost you, Matthew. No, the last time I spoke to you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You were saying that the doll's hotter than me, or that I'm hotter than the doll, and that's true. The doll cannot take a dump on your face. Only I can do that.
That's so sexy.
Oh, God.
I'm really turned on now. Matthew, what did you have to do to, did you have to like have your body molded, your penis molded? How do they make this real doll based on you?
I went into this studio and they do like 3D imaging and scanning. Mostly it's used for like video games and video game characters. to put skins on them, but they decided to make a doll out of it. So I went in there, I stripped down naked, and this kind of hot guy came and scanned me with this like crazy machine, and then they printed up the doll.
Now, the doll's dick is erect. Did you have to get erect during this process?
I think you know the answer to that.
I want to know, Romaine, so shut up. Romaine's here, by the way.
Yeah, hi, Matthew.
Oh, hey,
I'm only here for
How
a minute.
Hi, good.
I was not erect when they did the... To be honest, the penis on the doll is a little thinner than mine.
Oh, my.
I know.
So they didn't do an exact replica of your cock?
I think they did like an approximation based off videos.
It did look a
Now, because thin. The dick is erect, it looks like you could just lube it up and sit on it if you wanted to get fucked by a slightly thinner version of Matthew Camp's dick. Does it also have a butthole? Can it be penetrated from behind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. You can do that already.
I would hope for $4,000 it would come with everything.
Yeah.
What about the mouth? Is the mouth moist?
The mouth doesn't move, nor is it moist.
So it's not fuckable, the mouth?
There's no hole in the mouth. The mouth is like, he's not a talker. He's the strong, silent type.
Oh, gotcha.
Kind of like Matthew himself.
I don't know. I already gave you feces jokes.
They should have made a sex doll to do all the talking.
Wow.
Speaking of which, with Romaine here, I'd like to ask you this. Why did you guys end Happy Campers so abruptly and without any explanation? I was very disappointed.
Me and Six came to a sort of like head in our relationship where it just, we could not work together in the same way that we were before.
Mm.
I think a lot of it had to do with just the stress of like the house and a lot of things changing, and scheduling was like super difficult.
Are you guys no longer living in the same space?
No, but we haven't been for a while.
Interesting. This is some good tea.
I know, right?
Well,
I can't lie. I'm the worst.
No,
that's poker face.
I think honesty is the best policy.
That's why we love
you.
Yeah. So what are you, other than the sex doll, what's your next project? What are you working on right now?
Well, we just finished filming Hot House, which will be coming out with Tiffany Pollard, Cupcake, Nicki Monet, and myself. And it's basically a reality competition show. It should be really good. I think it's going to be a nice sort of like step to the right from Slag Wars. So it's a similar show, but the same kind of fun, the same kind of humor, but a much more diverse cast. It's not in England, you know, so.
Will you be shirtless the entire time like you were in Slag Wars?
Most of the time, yeah. And a lot of the challenges are like sexy.
Oh, good.
No.
Well, we like a sexy Matthew Camp.
I do. I certainly
do. Yeah.
Sexy challenge.
All right. Well,
not a talking, telling jokes, Matthew.
No. Well, Matthew, since I never got to enjoy the real thing, maybe I will take a turn on the Matthew Camp doll available.
Maybe I should wheel him in.
What do you mean?
To the studio.
Oh, please.
Put him on a gurney and bring him in.
Listen, if you bring him in, I will get fucked by the doll. JB can film it, and it'll be we'll charge money for it. It'll be like a pay-per-view thing.
Okay, with you, I'm okay with this idea.
Yeah,
I'm afraid, and remaining the same look, I think some other people might use this doll. I don't want the doll sent to the studio. That's my point. I want the doll sent to the studio because other people are going to use this doll in the wrong kind of ways, and we're not covered for that.
Romaine, you say what?
I know nothing, Jon Snow. As long as I know nothing, anything can happen. I don't care. I know nothing.
Send me one of those dolls, man.
Can it be when I'm back on?
All right, I got to go.
Do you want to watch that?
You guys have fun with that sex
doll.
Bye,
Romaine.
I'm scared.
Thank
you
for being here. We love you.
Love you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Matthew, we're going to let you go, too, but it's lovely to hear from you.
You, too.
Start another podcast.
All right, I will.
I'll be your co-host.
Let's do it.
And you'll only have to have sex with me once in a while.
Okay.
That'll be my
Can I record it?
My fee. Yeah, just put a bag over my head. Nobody wants to see that.
Do you know what? Never mind.
What?
Do you know what pink farts are? Pink cum farts?
Oh, God. No. What is a pink cum fart?
So it's the saying. You're not doing it right unless you're farting pink cum.
That's disgusting. Oh. That's really vile. And on that note, Matthew Camp, stick to modeling. Maybe it's a good thing the podcast is over. No, I love you. Good luck with the doll and with the series. Where can people watch that series?
Which series?
The one you just talked about with
Hot House. It will be coming out on Out Network, Out TV Network.
All right, we'll keep on the lookout
and a bunch
for that.
Of other places. Yeah, look out for it. It should be fun.
All right, baby. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. I don't think I'm ever going to recover from pink cum farts.
I'm really kind of.
You realize what he's saying there?
Yeah, yeah.
Your ass is bleeding.
Yep. And then, I took a moment on
sis,
that.
This was the podcast. Like what you got with that
I know.
5 minutes, that was the podcast.
I was on it once and I was literally like, can we talk about me now?
Well, maybe you'll be on it again when on it means on his sex doll dick.
Well, I'll make sure there's plenty of lube so that there is no bleeding. Oh, there's Iris, Romaine's wife. How sweet. This is a fun show so far. All right, now it's time to do a story from Cocktails and Cock Talk. We haven't done a story from them in so long, and JB tells me that the bumper has been deleted from the soundboard.
Yeah, because it's mostly my fault. I should have remembered what was on our old bumper bar because our old bumper bar is corrupted. So we moved to a new bumper bar. And, you know, we haven't done, again, like he said, we haven't done Cocktails, Cock Talk story in a minute, and I just kind of forgot about it. But I don't have it in my backup system, so I'm just going to send
me
it again.
Fortunately, I am a live backup system. So here comes the live bumper. And now, another stupid story from Cocktails. And CockTalk.com.
Yes, suck my cock.
that deserves some applause.
Yes, hold on. One second.
So, Cocktails and Cock Talk says that there is now a thing called dead dad porn. You heard that right.
Okay.
CNCT says, still getting laid at after parties? That is so 2012. It's all about the afterlife now. At least that's what the people over at Family Dick think. Family Dick, Joanne, is a gay porn franchise, if you will, where it's usually like stepfathers and stepsons. They're not allowed to. You can't make actual incest porn. You can't be like, even pretend. You can't be father and son or mother and son or father and daughter. You have to. It always has to be a step. But they do lots of like older, younger porn with stepfathers and step uncles and doctors and patients. So now they have this thing called Ghost Daddy. This is their newest film. In one particular scene, a son is seen mourning his dead dad with his grandfather before the grandfather heads to bed. Isn't this so far a very sexy porn?
Yes, I'm loving it.
The son is then visited by an apparition of his dead dad, who then begins to jack his son off.
Oh, well.
Naturally, the horny granddad is up and about in the middle of the night and stumbles across his grandson naked and alone because he can't see the ghost. But after a moment, he's able to pick up on his son's presence and proceeds to join his dead son and living grandson in a phantom family three-way fuck.
Oh, you know what? I just love when families come together.
I mean,
the generations.
If you thought that was a mouthful, you should try sucking on your dead dad. That's according to Cocktails and Cocktails.
Well, there you get something stiff. Oh.
The bareback scene does leave.
Oopsie. That sounds awfully lively for a dead.
The bareback scene does leave us with one question, just one. Can ghosts pass on gonorrhea?
Or pink cum.
Pink cum fart.
Yep.
So this is an actual fetish, because of course it is, called spectrophilia.
Oh.
Spectrophilia is when one is attracted to ghosts or spirits. Spectrophiliacs fantasize about ghosts and often imagine scenarios involving sexual events between themselves and others and spirits. And here Family Dick has combined it with the concept of incest.
Yeah.
And so basically, Joanne,
It's got something for everyone.
Men are sick.
Yes.
We're really sick. And yes. We just constantly need to up the ante.
It's impressive. It really is. I don't.
Like, who wants to fuck a ghost? Like, that's what I never thought that was sexy. I thought it was funny after watching Scary Movie 2. Thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not something I dream of. I don't want to fight no Casper. Like, sis, real. There's real men outside the door that can just
death,
get.
Death is not erotic to me.
It's not sexy. No.
At all.
It's the end, sis. What's so sexy about the end? Nothing.
No. Well, you guys know more about the end than I
but
do.
But you know, someone's going right. to someone's gonna jerk off to it. I also wonder if the fact that it's a ghost is how they get around the father-son incest.
Right.
Maybe that's like a loophole in the law.
How ironic. Well, it's not really dad and son because he's dead.
It's the ghost of dad. Right. Oh, that's perfectly fine. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Go ahead
as
and
long
produce
as someone's
that
dead, then it's fine. They're no longer related.
It's so the whole thing is so disturbing. When you the way they used a special effect so that the ghost is kind of like not completely there. Like, you know, when they, you know, kind of like an old timey TV when they would show a ghost and it would sort of be fuzzy and.
Oh, yes. Right, right.
You
okay
could kind of see slightly translucent. Mm-hmm. That's how they've done this.
Okay. All I'm thinking is the guy's wearing the green screen ghost hoodie cut off his dick.
That's probably true. There probably is a green screen.
There's a guy wearing a completely green suit with just his dick out.
Yes.
Only like the dick is real.
Floating dick.
That's hilarious. if you would enjoy ghost sex, please email me at adam@adamsank.com or call the ass hotline at 804-TALK-ASS.
But only so, if you're dead.
Only if you're please call us if you're dead and you'd like to fuck your son. Thank you. Also from Cocktails and Cock Talk, I'm not going to do the bumper again. Gay sex is destroying the Mas Palamas dunes of the Canary Islands.
How embarrassing.
Apparently there's a cruising area in the Canary Islands. I guess that makes sense. They're called Las Dunas de Maspalomas. They're a special nature reserve. The Canary Islands are also known as Gran Canaria. And the dunes are its most famous landmark. And it's at risk of being destroyed by gay guys fucking.
Are they fucking the dunes themselves?
They're not fucking the dunes. They're fucking each other on the dunes. The dunes are also home to several rare bird populations and three endemic plant species. There's a new academic paper, Sand, Sun, Sea, and Sex with Strangers. This is the five S's that characterize cruising activity and its environmental... Oh, wait, this is the whole title of this paper. Ready? Sand, Sun, Sea, and Sex with Strangers, the five S's characterizing cruising activity and its environmental impacts on protected coastal dune field.
Do they realize that cruising is like half the time it takes to actually say the title of their thing?
Well, I mean, listen, no one's going to forget the name of that paper. The researchers studied the beach during May 2018, which is the island's busiest month of the year due to LGBTQ pride celebrations in Grand Canaria. I mean, who knew that Grand Canaria even had like a gay pride season?
Yeah.
But the researchers noted what they called sex nests. They found 298 sex nests over 2 square miles. I'm picturing like people dressed as giant birds, like
bringing in like little pieces of
twigs.
Wood and
yeah. There's like a tons of twigs and nests all around the beach. That's all I'm picturing.
Glued together with pink foam parts.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
The rippled dunes, which have been legally protected since 1972, are apparently being trashed with used condoms. Oh. And who the fuck still uses those?
See, now I don't think it's the gay people. Now I think it's the straight people. Because, again, who uses condoms?
That's right.
Like, I was very mad at this article because it was like, oh, gay sex is destroying things. I was like, really? Because I know straight bitches would just be on the beach too. Fuck
it. Well, it sounds like these researchers were hanging out with binoculars. And I think they could tell whether they were looking at gay or straight sex. But condoms, tissues, beer cans, and cigarette butts. Cocktails and Cock Talks picked up on this. They said, we're surprised to hear there were any condoms at all. But one of the authors of the study says that the giant lizards are eating them and dying, eating the condoms.
Yeah, now I feel bad.
So basically, the takeaway is if you go to the Canary Islands, do not have sex in Mas Palamas.
Well, no, I think the story is don't leave your condoms or your trash on the beach.
Don't litter.
Don't feed don't pollute, the giant lizards.
Which is the point of any beach.
Oh, my God. The thought of a giant lizard eating a used condom. I mean, is this the most disturbing show we've ever done? Between pink cum farts and
giant lizards. Giant
eating dirty
condom lizards. Condom eating lizards.
No, I really feel bad for the lizard, sis.
I feel bad for everyone. I feel bad for us all. Anyway, the authors of the paper are quick to point out that they're okay. Here you go, JB. There was no intention to criticize the LGBTQ community. This is simply a fact that gay cruising is the predominant activity in these dunes. They said, we're not calling for an end to public sex, but we want people to be aware of the damage it can do. And I support this 100%. Listen, I'm not a fan of outdoor sex, period.
Right.
Never have been.
Yeah.
I don't like having sex in parks. I don't like having sex in the meat rack in Fire Island. I like a nice, clean place, like a public bathroom, to have my anonymous sex in.
That's great. I applaud your morals.
No, public bathrooms are disgusting, but at least there's not like sand and dirt and bugs and mud.
Yeah, I don't want to have sex and exfoliate at the same time.
Have you and the missus ever had sex in the great outdoors?
Well, of course, in the early days of our lives.
Courtship.
Yes. We experimented with indoor outdoor plumbing. No, that makes it sound like we're bi. That's not what I meant at all.
Like where was the place you made whoopee outside?
Well, we were by the water. Yes.
Vague, Joanne. Are you afraid to say whether it was an ocean or a lake?
Well, I'm trying to think. It wasn't really the beach, but it was, I don't know, it was maybe by an inlet of some kind. Maybe it was an inlet. Maybe it was my wife's inlet. No.
Wow. All right. Well, you're clearly not going to give us a straight answer. But suffice it to say, Joanne and her wife at some point had sex outside near some kind of water.
Yes, yes, correct.
And they picked up after themselves.
Of course.
They did
we
not
did
leave
not leave
any trash.
We did not want to kill any
See,
giant
that should
lizards.
Have been the name of the article. It's not gay sex destroying beaches. Mm-hmm. Gay people should clean up after themselves.
Yes.
All people should clean up
after
themselves.
All people should clean up after themselves, yes. But...
kill giant
okay,
lizards.
Moving on. Okay, I don't know if you guys saw that People magazine came out with its annual list of the sexiest men in the world. They chose Paul Rudd.
Yes.
As the sexiest man, which
Do you
had
agree?
A few people scratching their heads. I mean, I love Paul Rudd. I think he's adorable and charming and a great actor. I don't really think of him as sexy, and I certainly don't think of him as the sexiest man alive in 2021.
Yeah,
I think this was just a tie-in with the fact that he was coming out with Ghostbusters – whatever that new Ghostbusters reboot is, and they must have had some sort of corporate tie-in with People's parent company. But he's all right. What do you think, JB? Is Paul Rudd sexy to you?
So I was really thinking about my head. I was like, she's... And every time I thought of something, it was just like, because she's really just okay. Like, she's only hot in the anime movies because they make you work out super heavy and have bodies, you know, cause superhero shit.
Right.
So, like, Paul Rudd, regular, just an okay guy.
Like, I think he's total husband material.
Yeah.
But he's not my sexual fantasy.
No.
Like, I would.
He has aged really well.
Like,
right.
If I saw him in the street, I'd be like, that's a cute man.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's not the sexiest man in the world. He doesn't make me, oh, girl.
Well, the reason we're doing this story is because for the first time ever, People magazine included in its list of the sexiest men on television a trans man.
Yay.
Lone Star actor Brian Michael Smith. Smith wrote, I've been called many things. This is a first. Incredibly honored to be included in this list with so many actors I admire. Big love to People for the historic shout out. Hashtag representation matters. Hashtag trans is beautiful. No trans man had ever before been included on the various sexiest men lists at People. The 38-year-old Smith... has appeared on several shows before. Oh, it's called 911 Lone Star. Before that show, he was on The L Word, Chicago PD, and Girls on HBO. In 2019, he became the first out black trans man cast in a regular role on a network series with 911 Lone Star. Has anyone ever heard of this show?
I heard of it. It's like one of those CBS shows like Blue Bloods and whatnot. I'm not really into it.
Also included on the list was Lil Nas X.
Oh.
Yes, sis.
Nice.
Meanwhile, there's something called Barstool Sports. I think it's like a betting site. Oh. They caused a huge stir on the internet by listing a releasing a list of the top 10 female singers of all time.
Really?
Here's the list in descending order. So from number 1 to number 10. And stop me when the list starts to get strange to you. Mariah Carey.
Stop. Oh, sorry.
Shade.
Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Tina Turner, Adele, Aretha Franklin, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Ashley Simpson,
pardon me,
and Addison Rae.
Okay, wait, I stop at Ashley Simpson. Like that list, the list
who's
started
Addison
off
Rae?
Like
I had literally never heard of Addison Rae, and Ashley Simpson does not belong on any list that includes Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Tina Turner, Lady Gaga, or Beyonce.
I think Ashley Simpson is destroying the dunes of the Canary Islands.
Of the Las Palmas. Twitter users reacted with a mix of amusement and outrage at people were aghast at the exclusion of the likes of superstars like Taylor Swift and Diana Ross, not to mention Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Dolly Parton.
Quote, how is Taylor Swift not on this list, nor Alicia Keys? I can't take this seriously. Another called the list bad tweeting. The fact that Addison Rae and Ashley Simpson got any scintilla of a mention here in lieu of Amy Lee, Dolores O'Riordan, Diana Ross, Gladys Knight, Ella Fitzgerald, Etta James, and the list goes on to show how shallow Barstool brains are. This one is bad. But then it was speculated by many, and I think this is probably the case, that they did this on purpose. Because everyone's talking about fucking Barstool Sports and no one even knew had heard of them before. So
that's
I think
true.
They did that. This was a, what do you call this? This was a red herring.
Yes.
Clickbait.
Yeah. Ding, ding.
This was some bullshit.
True that.
Oh, shit.
Addison Rae.
I don't have the story about Buckingham Palace being a gay cruising area. It's literally in the other room. Okay, discuss who you think should have been on that list. I'll be right back.
Okay, so yes, Diana Ross. Agreed. Totally.
Yes.
Also,
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse. Oh, she was good.
Yes.
Poor sweet good. Spirit is gone now. Yes. Lord mercy. She Dolly went to rehab Parton. And she didn't come back.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, I totally Dolly. Parton. How about Barbara Streisand?
Oh, for God's
hello.
Sakes. Seriously.
Okay, I'm back now. Mm-hmm. This is a story that I've been trying to do for 2 months, and we keep getting cut off. So this will be the last story before we welcome our fabulous guest. And it is that Buckingham Palace, the land where Buckingham Palace currently stands, was once a gay cruising area.
What?
A new historical essay has revealed that Buckingham Palace actually sits on a site once famous for hosting a gay brothel cruising ground. Writer Richard Norton compiled his research in a new essay titled The Gay Subculture in Early 18th Century London. In it, he quotes...
That was really good.
Thank you. In it, he quotes English politician Clement Walker as chronicling gay sex in Mulberry Garden, which is now the site of Buckingham Palace. In 1649, Walker wrote of the, quote, new erected Sodoms and spintries at the Mulberry Garden at St. James. For the uninformed, Sodoms and spintries refer to brothels and sex workers. Norton also quotes another writer from the 1600s, John Wilmot, Earl of Rochester, who penned a poem about his love of link boys. Link boys were young men tasked with carrying a torch alongside noblemen at night in the city.
Oh.
So if you were some rich bitch,
you had a little
helper carrying a lantern to light your way.
Nice.
And this John Wilmot was apparently in love with those boys, and he wrote, nor shall our love fits Chloris be forgot, when each of the well-looked link boys strove to enjoy, and the best kiss was the deciding lot, whether the boy fucked you or I the boy. So beautiful.
Beautiful.
Apparently the Earl of Rochester was also verse. Good for him. Norton further notes that while documentation at the time suggests that Mulberry Garden attracted men interested in meeting other men for sex, historians have a difficult time today determining if the men cruising the garden actually exchanged money. Norton notes that the records of trials of those arrested for indecency suggests that the mollies, as they were called, engaged in sex for pleasure.
Molly's.
Rather than profit.
Ah, very interesting.
Look at you, you little Molly.
Molly's and Link Boys. I love it.
Cocktails and, this was another Cocktails and Cock Talk story, of course. They said, we wonder if the Queen is aware of the history of her beloved residence. Now, that's a tour we'd love to take.
Oh, Buckingham Palace.
Isn't that a good story?
Yes. And now that we know there, why there are no giant lizards in Buckingham Palace.
Because they ate all the condoms.
Because they ate all the condoms.
All right. JB, right before we start this interview, I just want to remind you that Ryan's questions are going to be part of it. So have that ready. Okay. Our guest today is a legendary queen. She competed in seasons 8 and 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, winning the title of Miss Congeniality in season 8. And she's out with a new bilingual Christmas song just in time for the holidays entitled Bring Me the Holidays. Take a listen.
It's Navidad. It's Navidad. It's Navidad. It's Navidad. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
So please give a warm-ass welcome to Miss Congeniality and her cuckoo all the way from beautiful Puerto Rico, Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Cynthia.
Hello, guys. How are you, mis amores?
I'm wonderful talking to you. Welcome to the show. Do you prefer that I call you Cynthia or Carlos?
Oh, you can call me whatever you want to. Even you can call me cuckoo if you want to.
Cuckoo. How are things in Puerto Rico this beautiful Thanksgiving weekend?
Oh, my God. All I can say, it's a dream because I didn't see my family for almost 2 years, you know. Sadly, in the island, it hit a Hurricane Maria. So I came after Hurricane Maria, and I see everything, like, devastated and destroyed. But right now, so far, everything is, you know, pick it up. Puerto Rican, you know, community, it's very, you know, progressive. So everything seems to be, like, rebuilt back again. And it's so good to be around my family, my nephews and niece. It's just so good. And I eat a lot of food, honey. Oh, my God.
Do you guys have turkey? I know that's more of an American thing.
Oh, we do. Yeah, I mean, like, we're part of the, you know, the USA. So we have a lot of, like, the traditions from, you know, America. But also, we have our own traditions, too. So it's the mix of a roast pig and turkey, too, as well. So I eat both.
Adios mio.
I know.
Where exactly are you in Puerto Rico?
I'm in Utuado, Puerto Rico. Utuado, Puerto Rico. That's a Taino native native Antillean language. That means it means prosperity. And it's in the center of the island. Let's say that I'm on the countryside of the island.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. We just listened to a little bit of your beautiful Christmas song. And I was surprised because, you know, people who know you from the show know that you have this really big, funny personality. And I was expecting that if you were going to record a song, it would be more of a comedy song, you know, algo ridículo. But it's actually serious and heartfelt. What made you want to record a song like this?
Well, actually, I've been singing for 25 years. I've been trained for vocal coach and classical training too for opera. 1996, so picture it. I'm 40 now, so. Okay, so, you know, 1996, I start singing. It's 25 years. I'm 40 years old right now, so I've been singing all my entire life, you know. And then I went to the TV show, and I showed this crazy and explosive personality, you know. And I use this platform now just to pursue my career as a singer.
Right.
So I want to do something special, especially for Christmas, something more serious, you know, not something like ridiculous, like you said before, to just give a message, you know, because we've been in this past 2 years to a very hard pandemic, a lot of us experienced COVID-19, you know, losing family members or friends, you know what I'm saying? So I want to inspire with this magical, beautiful journey song, just to inspire everybody to welcome the holidays in another perspective of peace and love, you know, a little bit of the congeniality side personality, honey. So well, that's why I decided to go this route.
My co-host was just mentioning that we we haven't had a bilingual Christmas song really since Feliz Navidad, since Jose Feliciano. So it's such a wonderful thing to have something that combines both cultures.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And actually, like, I think it was 4 years ago, I did a cover of Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano, too. And I performed in New York with Pandora's Box, Sugarcane. Yeah, it was beautiful.
That's awesome.
Right now, I'm feel very happy because it's something that I create with my boyfriend. And it's an original song, you know, and it's English, it's Spanish, you know, going to my two, like, beautiful, you know, fan bases that they appreciate what I do, you know, and giving, like, this as a present to everybody. And just to welcome Christmas with love and hope, because we need hope after these terrible 2 years that we lived before, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your backstory. Before you became a drag queen, you worked in the mental health field for years, and I'm wondering how that helped prepare you for the world of drag.
Oh my God, that's a good question. I studied clinical psychology in Puerto Rico at the Catholic University of Puerto Rico in Ponce, Puerto Rico. And also I have a minor in mental health and a certified in substance use too. So I started working as a caseworker for HIV clients who experienced substance use and mental health issues seven years ago. And of course, you know, when I had the opportunity to decide to explore the world of drag, it helped me a lot to understand my queer community, LGBTQI plus community. We all came from different backgrounds and settings, you know, and of course, like a little bit of trauma, you know. So for me, it was easy, you know, to go to the TV show and understand this very interesting particular personality and characters that they become part of, eventually my sisters, for season 8 and season 9 and other seasons too as well, you know. So it was a little bit more clear to understand the insanity that brings behind the character for entertainment, aka drag, you know.
Right. I mean, it helps you understand people's motivations and gives you insight into why people act the way they do.
Yes, absolutely, you know, and it was a little bit more easier, you know, because it was a clear message, like, okay, she's doing this, you know, let me understand, oh, this is what happened, perfect, okay, let's go, next one, you know?
Yeah. What was the biggest surprise to you about your experiences on Drag Race?
Surprises, that's a good question. I think maybe probably I was dreaming all these years since I was working in TV in Puerto Rico and Miami to be in front of the camera as the main artist, you know. But the biggest surprise was when I get the opportunity to get being cast, you know, for season 8 of Drag Race, especially that day that they called me at 3:25 p.m. And that day was the day that it was legalized, the gay marriage in America.
Oh, my gosh.
So that day, I comes to the realization of like, oh my God, wait a second. I'm going to be again on TV, but for the first time, I'm going to be one of the main artists in drag. That was the biggest surprise, I think, for me from all the entire experience. And then going to the TV show is that I thought I will never get the opportunity to meet RuPaul, but I did. You know, I have like on the first episode, the first moment that she accessed the workroom and she said her famous hello, 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 ladies. And she's like going downstairs on the workroom. And I would start crying because she's one of my heroes. You know, she's one of my inspirations for what I do today.
It must feel like a dream because you've watched this show for 7 years and then suddenly you're on it.
Yes, it was surreal for me. And then, like, at that moment, she stopped the filming, you know, and she said, like, Cynthia, I know you're crying. I know you're very excited to meet me, so give me a hug, kiddo. And she gave me a hug, you know, and it was a beautiful moment, you know, like, and I was a little bit concerned, too, because, you know, for conflict of interest, she cannot interact with us during the show because the other competitors, they're going to think that there's, like, special treatment to one of the girls, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But at the same time, it was a moment that everybody received with love. And everybody was like, oh, Cynthia's very happy to see one of her heroes. So why not, you know? So I think that was another surprising moment, too, during the recording, the filming of the TV show.
Well, Cynthia, my regular co-host who couldn't be here today, Ryan Frostig, is a Drag Race super fan and a huge fan of yours in particular. So he recorded a couple questions for you. Take a listen to this.
Hello, Miss Cynthia Lee Cuckoo Fontaine. This is Ryan the Frost Pig Frostig, and I have a couple questions for you. My first question is, If you could go back to Drag Race and do a redemption of one of the looks that you did on seasons 8 and or 9, which looks would you do? And my second question for you is, what is the most embarrassing thing you have ever done in drag? Thank you so much. Mwah.
So which would be your redemption look?
Well, the first one is an easy, and you know, response to that question. It could be on my third episode, where I was eliminated on season 8, and it was red pants that I was on roller skates.
Yes.
I will definitely, if I got the opportunity to have a redemption and then get invited back to the TV show for any of the All-Stars, you never know, I will do a clean, complete 365-degree redemption change to that look. Because that look, I have so many questions myself. Even me watching myself on the TV show, you know? And for the second question,
yes,
I'm going to answer you in two answers. I think the most embarrassing thing that it happens to me when I was doing drag before going to the TV show, it was when I was performing, I did a high kick and I lose my wig.
Oh,
and
no.
And everybody can, oh, girl, And then when I just like, you know, fall on the stage, spread big eagle, my legs, it was like open legs. I forgot to wear panties. So that was part of the embarrassment that day.
Oh, my God. So they saw your cuckoo.
They saw my cuckoo and everything in between. And then the second, it's on the TV show, actually happens in season 8 on episode 2 when we did the Beach Perfect challenge. When I did my high kick and my shoe flew away from my feet and went all the way almost on RuPaul's wig when she was judging us scene like this. Performance live.
I mean, that
you don't understand.
It might have been embarrassing, but it's also iconic. Like, that's a fabulous Drag Race moment that people will remember forever.
Well, you know what? The editing is amazing and it's great. You know, I was on my favorite at that time, you know, but on that moment that you're
Cynthia, we just lost you again. Hang on. Let's wait for the sound to come back.
Team captain for my group. I was helping everybody, even I was like putting like, you know, adhesive glue like underneath the shoes of everybody. I forgot about myself, and then I did that final high kick, boom, and that shoe flew away. That moment I thought I'm gonna be eliminated. But it doesn't happen. It was a moment, like you guys said, eventually becomes an iconic moment on Drag Race history.
Absolutely. All right, Cynthia, in the time remaining, we're gonna play a little quiz show game that we play with everybody. It's called Ask Me No Questions.
Ask me no questions.
Yeah. What three words best describe your cuckoo?
Big, juicy, and rounded.
Describe the perfect pinga.
Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican pingas are the best. Yes.
And Tex-Mex. You know, me experience right now that I have a boyfriend that is from Texas, you know. I cannot deny I like pasteles, but I like burritos too as well.
If you could do Snatch Game all over again, which celebrity would you choose to impersonate instead of Sofia Vergara?
Well, one of the ones that the fans are asking me the most is Sarah McLachlan.
Why Sarah McLachlan?
Well, I did a video promoting, I remember when we get season 8, the production of World Wonder get, you know, the consideration for an Emmy for Best Live Reality TV Show that eventually the show won. And we were promoting everywhere, like, please just support the show, to all the Academy to vote for the show to be Best Reality. I did a small video, me promoting that as Sarah McLachlan. I think it went viral on Instagram and Facebook, and people went crazy. I'm grabbing like a, you know, teddy bear, dog-like on my arms. Then I did this Patrick and detrimental makeup, the hair, and I was talking like her, of the commercials that we watch every time at 3 a.m. in the morning.
That's hilarious. The one where, in the arms of the stranger.
Yes.
That's hilarious. I'll have to check
and
that out.
And then I changed the voice and I started like, hey, my name is Sarah McLachlan. You know how many thousands of dogs in the world are hungry right now? Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about RuPaul Drag Race and being nominated for a reality TV show. What are you expecting for? I'm going to cry right now if you don't vote for them, you know? And people went crazy about it. I'm like, okay.
That's so funny. I love it. What's the sexiest part of a man's body?
Oh, the cuckoo.
You like the ass.
The ass, this the fundillo, the C-U-L-O, culo.
Ridiculo. If you had to spend the rest of your life, if you had to spend the rest of your life on an island with three other Rue girls, which three would you choose?
Oh my God, that's a beautiful question. I love all my sisters, but I think it's going to be from season two of Drag Race, Jessica Wilde.
Yes.
And also from season nine, Kimora Black.
You get one more.
Yeah. It's three. Oh, my God. You see? Oh, my God. I'm missing the point. You see? And the third one, Acid Betty.
Acid Betty. What a fun group that would be.
From season eight.
Okay, which three queens would you kill if you had to be on an island with them?
Oh, my God. I'm going to be in trouble for this one.
I hope so.
Well, honey, just only break a lash, baby. Break a lash. I think maybe probably, you said three?
Yes.
Does it have to be three or just one?
You can do one if you'd like.
Oh my God, you guys are evil. Oh my God, I'm Miss Congeniality. Never mind, I spent the $5,000 on Miss Congeniality already, so I can be rude and terrible right now.
Exactly.
I think, you see, I got the bell. Boom, en español la campana. I think maybe, Valentina.
Oh.
I think it's going to kill me.
Sí.
Valentina. Who other one is annoying? Oh, I say that. Okay. Valentina. Maybe Fifi O'Hara, but I love her so very much.
Yes.
And maybe probably on that boat again, it's going to be Acid Betty.
Shade.
Well, that's interesting that Betty would be in your top three choices as well as one of the ones you wanted to kill. I get it, though.
You know what? It's between love and hate, because she's my best friend, you know. And some days, like, we wake up with a personality. I love you so very much. I miss you. And then the other day, don't text me or calling me. I'm busy. I'm like, F you, whatever. I love you, you know. But
yeah, I'm the same way with my best friends.
She's winning the tool list.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And final question, Cynthia. What is the number one thing everyone out there should do to keep their cuckoo fresh?
Okay. Fresh and clean and beautiful. This is like my three tips. First of all, you know, soap and water. That's easier. Okay.
Soap and water.
The second one is The second one is exercise, workout. Okay. Because, you know, I mean, like, you need to detox that area. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the third one, be best friend with your doctor. Okay. I do that too.
That's really good advice. We actually just had a doctor on who specializes in the ass, and he said that doctors don't pay enough attention to that area, and you should be getting a regular anal exam every time you go to the doctor.
What, I was not invited to that podcast? I mean, come on, you have the full panel.
Cynthia Lee Fontaine, you are a delight. Thank you so much for joining us. How can people follow you on the internet?
Oh my God, they can go to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Actually, you can follow me on TikTok at Cynthia Lee Fontaine _line at the end. And you can find all my events, merch, and more, and music on www.cynthialeefontaine.com.
There you go. And everyone watch her video for the Christmas song on YouTube. It is a beautiful song. Thank you for joining us, and I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Joanne and JB, please plug yourselves.
Thank you.
Joanne Filan at everything.
At SuckAnarchy12, only on Instagram.
Thank you, everybody. Tune in next week. Joanne will be back with me again as we co-host a brand new special, The Best of Ass, Chicks We Love. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me on Twitter and Insta at Adam Sank, and on TikTok at Adam Sank Official. There's the closing music again. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Have a great week, bitches. Bye.
the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.